This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
So every now and then, I have the opportunity to interview physicians outside of the orthopedics and neurosurgery space. And the field of rheumatology, I find, is so interesting and fascinating because it's an entire world that does affect our musculoskeletal system, as well as the pain that we feel on a daily basis. And to not address it, I think, provides a disservice to you listeners. And so today, I have Dr. Isabel Amig, who is a rheumatologist and has been through quite an amazing journey. And she was kind enough to take some time out of her day to explain the field of rheumatology, how that actually gets involved from a pain management standpoint, and then some key action steps to taking care or dressing or even figuring out if working with a rheumatologist could be for you. So Dr. Amig, it's so great to meet you, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
So let's talk a little bit more about yourself. You're a physician. You've been through quite the journey. Tell us a little bit more about your journey and the work that you do now.
Okay. Well, so I'm French. Cannot hide it. Apparently, I have an accent. I don't hear my accent, by the way. It's really funny. I feel like I have the perfect American accent until I listen to myself and I'm like, ooh, who is this person with a strong French accent? But yeah, so I did medical school in France. I actually did residency and fellowship in France. Fell in love with the field of rheumatology almost right away. I think it was in my first or second year of medical school, which is as the equivalent of pre-med in the U.S., and I've been a rheumatologist, and then I moved to the U.S. Right after I had done my fellowship. I did to repeat the residency and then the fellowship at Columbia University. And, you know, while I had the choice to choose something else, I was still in love with rheumatologists, and I still am in love with rheumatology. So I just love this field. And I moved to, so I was at Columbia University in New York City. And then I did a lot of research, moved to Denver. Also fell in love with Denver. Actually, I fell in love with Colorado. That's really what it is. And the really cool thing was that I could find a hospital that allowed me to do research and have very good clinical care. And so I was at National Jewish for about 5 years, a little bit more. It's really my own health journey that started like literally a year before the pandemic with COVID started that really shifted my practice of medicine fully. So I had already started shifting, and I already started realizing the importance of, you know, meditation, visualization, affirmations, like all of the things that can empower the patient. But really, it's when I myself had to deal with stage 4 breast cancer that I changed completely the approach that I had to conditions. Yeah, instead of, and we can talk more about this, but instead of seeing the disease as an enemy, started seeing it as, you know, a friend, which sounds so silly and so crazy when you hear it, but really, just a friend that you have to deal with, that's what it is. And that, like, a good friend can leave when its time is over. And it's very funny because it shifted my own journey of healing to not be stressed, to not be, well, I was still scared, but not to a point that it was, like, not to a point that overwhelmed me. And then, you know, I was in remission when COVID happened, like the pandemic of COVID happened. And then once that was, you know, not over, but better, when the world opened up again, I realized that I couldn't stay in the insurance system. So I opened my own direct care. And it was a bold move because I was not an entrepreneur in my core. But it turns out I am. I really love fixing things, and I love fixing systems. I love figuring out what is the best approach to our patients, whether it's prior authorization, whether it's making sure that they understand their medication, that they have good communication. And so, yeah, I've been doing this now for almost 3 years, and I'm still in love with rheumatology. I'm always going to be in love with rheumatology, but I think I'm in love with the process right now of getting patients to remission, because I can, in this new practice, I can actually get that for patients with this new approach that's not saying that the disease is an enemy, but rather that it's a condition that we're working with. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, what a journey, and congratulations on beating breast cancer. It's
you're using beating. That's so interesting.
Oh,
right?
Sorry. Yeah.
All do that. We all do that. It's like this word of fighting and beating. Yeah. And oh, he won or he lost his battle against this and that. And so I'm so big on words. No, I didn't beat it. I worked with it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, especially the patients that I deal with, especially in the chronic pain space, especially, I mean, the reality is that we will experience flare-ups periodically. It's just a part of life. And so we can change our approach or change how we look at it. We can say, okay, here we have this pain, the sky is falling, right? Or here's this information. All right, well, what can we do with it? And so I'm a huge fan of being able to approach things from a point of curiosity and power, and allows us to be able to truly problem solve. And I think that's what really helped me get into the work that I do. So I'm really excited for us to take a deep dive and talk a little more about this. But I love your approach. And I myself have been out of the insurance world. The only insurance that I do have relationship with is with Medicare out here in California, but then everyone else that I do work with is an out-of-pocket. And I know that you can share this with the listeners too, but usually when the healthcare providers are dealing with insurances, it actually takes away from their ability to provide the care that you need. Because in some cases, you might need a therapeutic or an intervention which might not be covered by insurance. But then also what we as providers have to figure out is, all right, well, if we are seeing you as the patient, how can we truly get compensated for the time that we put in? It's not with insurance, it's we submit the claim and it's 3 to 6 months before we actually even see the money. And what ends up happening is that you're having a provider who's having to constantly wonder whether or not they're going to be getting paid. And so as a result, they're going to have to see more patients. They're going to have to just consistently, it takes them away from the care that you truly deserve as a patient.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of like I think the way I think about it is that it's like McDonald's, right? Or like a fast food. Like you know that it's going to be paid like maybe $3 or like let's say it's $15 for a meal, but you also know that the quality is not good. But at the same time, you have no choice because that's how fast it's fast food. And I think it's fast care. And I was getting angry. That's funny. I was getting angry at the care that my patients were getting because I thought, and I'm going to do this with, I'm a foodie, so I love food. And I was thinking, like, if I want to offer a Michelin star meal, I can't do it in a fast food setting. And like, you take the best Michelin star chef, if you take them and you put them in a fast food setting, they cannot offer you a Michelin star food. And so that's when I was like, no, I'm done. I'm done with it. But I still get better result. Not me, it's actually my team. They are so good. They get the medications for patients approved faster and more often than anyone I've seen before. Because I can use the money towards my team to get the prioritization done. So it's really how you decide you do have a pocket, like an amount of money, and where do you put that? And for me, it's like for my patients' care. That's like the most important thing. So yeah.
Yeah. And then to kind of work off of what you said, it also brings up this concept of experience versus outcomes. And I think what is hard is the fact that, especially when you are a patient trying to navigate, do I pay out of pocket to see this provider or do I go through my insurance? It's like, yes, there can be a slight experience, but ultimately you're going to us providers because you have a problem. And the reality is that when you're working with a provider one-to-one and they're a competent provider such as yourself, we're ideally able to get the outcomes a lot faster and then maybe even get an outcome that you truly want versus just trying to sell people on like, we can see you faster and everything like that. And plus what's really interesting, especially nowadays, and you probably heard this, when you're dealing with insurance, and I actually was just speaking with someone yesterday, it actually is starting to get quite slow. Because a lot of these insurance-based clinics are having wait lists, 3 to 4 weeks. you know, 3 to 4 weeks at best, right? But for the most part, up to 6 months. And so we have that. Let's take a dive into the world of rheumatology, right? Because I think a lot of patients, like, especially on my end, when I'm seeing patients with orthopedic issues or even just like stuff like sciatica pain, what they're going through the entire gamut of medical provider, because they're like, I'm hurt, I think I need to go to an orthopedist. And then literally it's just months down the road before they get into rheumatology. And then even it's just like, I don't even know what it is. Or I mean, I know what it is, but the listeners might not even know what that entire journey is like. So tell us a little bit more about the world of rheumatology.
Yeah.
What kind of the process is, and like, what are some of the key things that patients or that doctors like you are looking for in that world?
Well, so first of all, the definition of rheumatology is actually quite difficult. I'm going to give you my definition, but if you take a room of 40 rheumatologists, you'll get 40 really definition. I'm going to give one that I love when people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's like Dr. House without the attitude or like a different type of attitude. So it's the science of inflammation. That's how I want to call it. The problem is that we know now that inflammation is sort of everywhere. You can have inflammation in cancer. You can have inflammation in infectious disease. So it's a little tricky to say that it's the science of inflammation. It's very systemic in the sense that it doesn't affect just one system. It's the whole body, which is where it's really exciting, for me at least. That's why I like it so much, because you're not stuck to just one system, right? It's not just cardiology, just the heart and the vessel, and nephrology, just the kidneys and so on. So rheumatology, the symptoms usually will be some joint pain. And when it's an inflammatory arthritis, pain that's worse in the morning, that's associated with morning stiffness and potentially swelling that gets better with exercise. So that's, you know, the inflammatory arthritis. But it's also someone that has symptoms that are, you know, sort of like doesn't really make sense. They have a skin rash. They have some joint pain. They have some hair loss. They have some severe fatigue. And they have maybe some blood issues. Looking at their blood, they have low or high white blood cell. They have high elevation of markers of inflammation. In general, what I personally think in terms of rheumatology, if there is joint pain, I think that that's an easy one. Go and see a rheumatologist so we can figure out what's going on. And then there is if you feel like something's off and you cannot figure it out. And truly, as a rheumatologist, I have made diagnosis of cancer. I have made diagnosis of infection. I have made diagnosis of immunodeficiency and so on. The vast majority of time, really, I make diagnosis of rheumatologic disorder, right? So if you think of someone that has maybe some joint pain, like the joint pain is really a one where if there is joint pain, you're like, ah, there's some potentially rheumatologic conditions here. But if you can have like muscle weakness and a skin rash, and that's inflammation of the muscle, you may not feel the inflammation of the muscle, but actually your muscles are breaking down, causing muscle weakness. And then maybe you have a skin rash. Maybe you have lung issues, so you have shortness of breath. Maybe you have like severe fatigue, because inflammation causes fatigue. And so that's really sort of the big spectrum of basically, if you don't know what's going on, go and see a rheumatologist, because we are good diagnosticians. I hope I help you. It's not easy to explain rheumatology.
No, that was really helpful. It really brings up this important concept, which I don't think enough physical therapists do, because, well, one, physical therapy, now a lot of patients can actually see physical therapists via what is called direct access. So you can actually see a physical therapist before you need to go see a physician, which I find it to be actually really helpful, because it then allows people to get the care that they need. But oftentimes we look into, and it's not our jobs as physical therapists to diagnose conditions. Our jobs are to be able to identify is what you're dealing with within our scope of practice. Can we address it via manual therapy, exercise, or stretching, or some other modality that we can provide? But it looks into this concept of the differential diagnoses and being able to say, is this an opportunity for us to refer out? And so, listeners, what you'll probably have come across when you're filling out different forms, especially when you're going to the doctor's office or even physical therapy office, is being able to say, in addition to what you just listed, are there any other symptoms or things that are going on in your health? And I think that question gets often overlooked, because someone can say, well, I've been having these back issues, and I've had this rash that hasn't gone away, right? And so it is important, especially when you are communicating with your doctors, that you share with them every single thing. Now, it can be very, very challenging when your visit is 20 minutes long, right? But it is important to be able to provide as much information as possible to be able to allow these doctors to be able to say, okay, well, based on this information, this is my biggest suspicion in this scenario. So I'm really glad, Dr. Amig, that you said, like, these are the things that we'd be looking for, because I don't think that we as a community, both on the patient side and also in some cases the provider side, spend enough time on asking those additional questions. So being able to look into that. So let's talk about like what the experience is like. Or I know that like now you have your own independent clinic, so it's like probably going to be very different than like the typical rheumatology visit. In regards to like getting assessed by a rheumatologist, what's the typical experience or process? Is it like they experience a scenario and then they have to go through these three different doctors before finally getting considered to go see someone like you? Or
yeah, it's a good question. It's a really, really good question that you know, the community is trying to answer, because okay, so this is actually a little bit bigger if you think about it, right? Like, there's not enough doctors. I don't know if it's that, and actually I do not know that that's the case. I don't think that there's not enough doctors. I think the issue is that we are replacing doctors with advanced practitioners, and as good as they are, the issue is that they don't have the knowledge of a physician. It's normal, right? Because they have knowledge only in specific field, since their training is what, one third? I can't remember. Like, it's much less than a doctor. And because of that, but we are needing providers. And so then we have advanced practitioners that are seeing patients that don't know much about rheumatology. And so then the issue is that they do testing on patients that wouldn't need testing. And the more you do testing, we all know that, we have learned that in medicine, the more you do testing, the more it's going to be positive. You're going to find something positive. But then if you have a positive test, the issue is that you have to address that. And if you're not a rheumatologist, you might not know how to address it. If you are a physician and you know how, you know, you may not order the test, or you know how to explain it, or maybe you call your friendly rheumatologist and figure it out. But what's happening then is that there is a flooding of referrals to the rheumatology community. And it's really hard from a rheumatologist team, because they have to spend an hour to like look at who is a good candidate for their rheumatology place or not. What I will tell you is that I used to do that at my previous institution. And what I realized it was that we can't ask someone that doesn't know rheumatology to refer properly, right? And so then what happened was that you would say no to someone, but really they had a rheumatology condition, or you would say yes to someone that had nothing. So at one point I was like, this makes no sense. We just need to see more patients. And how do you do that? Well, you hire more people. So then you hire more people, but then there's not enough rheumatologists. So you hire advanced practitioners. And that's when I was like, okay, this is a system that's broken that needs to be fixed. And I was like, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm happy to see any rheumatology referral, whether they are good referral or not good. And I can tell you, like, the vast majority of time, they're all good.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Bottom line is that you can figure it out. And if someone is sending you a patient and they think it's rheumatologic and it's not, and you make a diagnosis of an infection, a cancer, or, you know, whatever, you've helped the patient. So I, you know, personally, I'm like, yeah, I've helped the patient. That's all that matters. So in the insurance system, what happens is that a patient, very often, it's actually the patient that will say, I think I have a rheumatologic condition, because they've done some research on Google or ChatGPT, right? And then they'll ask their provider, and then the provider will put a referral. If you're in Colorado, the referral takes 6 months, is half of the time denied, because again, there's not enough rheumatologists, and that the person that's doing the checking if the referral is a good referral might actually like say, no, this is not a good referral. And so that's the issue. And then it's a waiting time between 3 months and 6 months, which is a problem. Because if you have an inflammatory arthritis, well, you want to be seen as soon as possible, because the moment you have an inflammatory arthritis, the goal, it's sort of a race against the clock. The goal is to put the patient in remission as soon as possible for two reasons. One, to stop the damage. Two, because the earlier you get the patient in remission, the deeper remission we will get and the longer the remission we will get, right? And so that's huge. And we know from many studies that the earlier we treat patients, the better the outcome. So for me, that's another reason I was like, I'm out. Like, I need to see my patients. And yes, maybe I won't treat everyone. Well, I will treat everyone that comes to see me. But at least I know that I'm doing the right job for my patients. And that was super important. So in the ideal world is the moment you have a suspicion, you want to see a rheumatologist that can either reassure you in two visits, right? Like, let's say you have a positive ANA, but you have nothing else. And we can, or I don't know, I saw a young patient and I made a diagnosis of diabetes, right? Yeah, she doesn't have a rheumatologic disorder. She has diabetes. But how cool is it that we can actually treat the diabetes? She doesn't have to have the complication of diabetes and she can have a totally normal life. So again, let's figure out what our patients have. And then the second step is if they do have a rheumatologic condition, let's get them to remission. And the remission takes a little bit of time at times. Sometimes it's very fast. Sometimes it takes like 2-3 months. Some other times it takes switching medication until we find the right one. So, you know, if you think about it in the cancer world, I find the cancer world actually very interesting. In the oncology world, because both of those fields are very hopeful. There's a ton of treatment now. It's really cool, actually. So anyway, so in the field of oncology, you do a test on the cells, of the cancer cells, and you're like, oh, they're going to respond to this drug, that drug, you know. It's not every single cancer, but in a lot of cancer, you can literally say, oh, look, there is a receptor. So because there is this receptor, I'm going to use this treatment, okay? And that's, we can, you know, target directly the cancer cell. In rheumatology, we don't have this yet, but it will happen. I think in the next 10 to 15 years, we will take some blood sample of our patients and we will be like, yep, you're going to respond to this treatment. And so we'll be like, okay, this is the treatment we start. And it will not be perfect, meaning that the same thing that in the oncology world, maybe it looks like that's what you're going to respond to. And then maybe the cells are shifting and all this. But in general, I think this will happen. And so right now, we just do a stepwise approach. But the goal is always remission. So yeah.
This episode is brought to you by the Patient Advocate Program. Are you tired of not having support between your rehab sessions? Introducing the Patient Advocate Program, and we're focused on your recovery and we're offering you 24/7 access to a doctorate of physical therapy. Stop waiting in line to be seen and stop spending hours doing long exercise programs. Imagine being able to get all of your care delivered straight to your phone. Best of all, it's affordable. We believe everyone deserves top-notch relief without breaking the bank. So why wait? Take control of your health today and visit ptpatientadvocate.com and book your free call with our experts. So let's talk, and thank you so much for sharing that. It's really, and I'm so glad that you brought up like the importance of being, in a way, it's like using your skill set and your expertise to be able to be more on the front lines versus being the last person that most people see. And talking about from a speed of care, I see this a lot, especially because since I work with a good amount of people virtually, especially in the world that we live in right now, a post-pandemic world, the world is like towns are open, clinics are open. And so what's interesting is that by the time most people come see me, they're already about 2 to 3 years through their pain journey before they actually see me because they've been to either a couple, you know, practitioner after practitioner. But what's really interesting is the fact that I know, especially from a pain perspective, when you're experiencing orthopedic pain, neurologic pain, and you're dealing with it for years, not only are we addressing the biomechanical standpoint of it, but we're also addressing the nervous system. And the longer that you're in pain, the longer it can actually take for you to recover, even with the most simple approaches. And so a lot of times when I'm having these conversations and I'm helping these patients, they're saying, man, I really wish I met you, you know, 2 to 3 years ago before down this road. And my hindsight is always 20/20. So I'm really glad that there it seems like there is a shift and addressing that. You've been talking about this concept. You've been talking about remission, right? Tell us a little bit more about what that means. And then how do you measure remission as well? you know, in physical therapy, especially in the world that I am in, it's pain and function. Those are the outcomes that I look at specifically. So I don't have a lab test, right? But it's really the recollection. In regards to remission, how do we measure that?
Yeah, so I'm going to first preface with the difference of between remission and cured. Because I think a lot of patients think that remission is cured. Cured is when you have no evidence of disease or condition, and that really it's not in your body. It's completely out. The issue is it's really hard to know if you're cured. So we have some definition in oncology of you're cured is... like, you know, after 10 years, if you don't need any medication, if you haven't been on any medication, then maybe you're cured. But really, we're re-changing this definition. And in rheumatology, so we don't talk about curing someone in rheumatology. We talk about remission. But it's actually really cool. Remission is the absence of symptom, but with or without medication. So the absence of symptom is literally no joint pain, like none. No joint tenderness on movement or on examination, no joint swelling, no morning stiffness or less than 15 minutes, no fatigue, and inflammatory markers that are normal. That is remission. And then we have something called minimal disease activity, where if you have one of those that are positive, then you're like, okay, you're in minimal disease activity. If you have more than that, we consider that you haven't reached our target. And so if you haven't reached our target, we should get a different treatment, a different approach. It doesn't necessarily mean changing treatment, medication. It just means maybe approaching it differently. The other thing is that we have like one thing that's really important in rheumatology is to make sure that you're treating the right thing. So you can have joint pain from many reasons. So I'm, you know, thinking of joint pain. But let's say, oh, well, okay, I'll give you an example since you're a specialist in a sciatica. The other day I have a patient with gout. And his gout has been doing so well. He used to have tophi, which is as if you have reservoir of crystal. He had a ton of tophi on his elbows and feet and some fingers. And they are melting. And with very little medication, actually, it's been really cool to watch. Done so well. And then one day he was like asking for a lot of prednisone. And I was like, well, what's going on here? Like, I want to see you. And then I realized, I was like, this has nothing to do with your gout. This is a sciatica. You have sciatica that has nothing to do with gout. And so here you are, if you don't take the time to evaluate the patient, you might actually like start wanting to change therapy or add more stuff when really you're not treating the same thing. It's not the same issue. And so I think that we have to be really good at figuring that out. Once a patient has some, maybe they have two things together. You can have rheumatoid arthritis and pseudo gout. You can have gout and sciatica, right? And so I think that that's what's really important is to really like go to someone that's really good in their art. And I consider that an art. It's both knowledge and experience and art, and make sure that you're treating the right thing. Yeah, so that's what remission is, basically no symptoms and normal inflammatory markers. And in lupus, sometimes we look at, you know, we look at blood work and we try to have antibodies that are normalized, but not everyone is going to normalize their antibody. And some people just are going to have, and I'm talking antibody dsDNA because the ANA is going to stay like this, right? So some patients will come and they'll be like, my diagnosis was made because I had a positive antibody. We have to realize that some antibodies are going to stay in you, and that doesn't mean that it's going to go away, but that's okay. You can still be in remission. So yeah.
Perfect sense. Thank you. And so being able to have those specific metrics or data points, which allows us to figure out what the next steps are, right? And I think it's certainly very challenging in a world where everything is so rushed. The truth is that we do need to take some time to be able to say, here's this information. Like, one, we need time to get that information. But then also, number two, we need a little time to be able to cross-reference it and be able to say, truly, this is what I think it is, or this is how we approach it. And it definitely seems like you're taking a much more hands-on approach to the care of your patients as compared to, you know, a 15-minute conversation and then transitioning into some sort of therapeutic. Now, there's a lot of different therapeutics that are out there, right, that are available. And I get served the ads from a pharmacological standpoint as well. But for the listeners out there, let's talk about some of the like over-the-counter.
Yeah.
behaviors or action steps that listeners can do in regards to just taking care of their bodies or if they're dealing with something like this. Now, obviously, it is important if you are suspecting that you have some sort of rheumatological issue to go speak with a rheumatologist like yourself. But what are some of the key tenets or practices that you find to be the most useful amongst the population that you work with?
Yeah, no, that's such a great question. So the first thing I'm going to say is NSAID. So NSAID is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And those are ibuprofen, Aleve, meloxicam, diclofenac, all of those. And ibuprofen and Aleve are over the Advil are over the counter, right? Well, it turns out that those are actually very, very good for inflammatory arthritis. And they work really well. And I have some patients where that's the only thing they need. So if you have, for example, ankylosing spondylitis, which is if you have inflammatory back pain, when like the back pain is worse in the morning, associated with morning stiffness and improve with exercise, it turns out that if you take NSAID, so like let's say ibuprofen or Aleve, and you exercise, you actually can go into remission by itself, right? So that's actually really good to know. I think where you want to see a rheumatologist is that you want to have a plan. You want to make sure it's safe when you're taking the NSAID, and you want to make sure that you're not living in pain. Again, the good is full remission, so no pain at all, like zero, no pain, no morning stiffness, right? But I definitely have some patients and some friends that definitely have, you know, inflammatory back pain that are perfect with just exercise. And that are perfect with NSAID. So that's the first one. And again, NSAID, even though it's over-the-counter, you want to check your kidney function and your liver function on a regular basis, because that can actually cause liver issues and kidney issues, especially if you take it all of the time. You know, doesn't have to, but it's something that you want to double check for sure. Tylenol is a great pain medication. It just doesn't really work as well in inflammatory arthritis. So in my word, it's going to be helpful for osteoarthritis. So it's like, you know, the wear and tear of joints. And that's really what it is. But, you know, that's something. And then I'm a big fan of nutrition choices, because we know that eating healthy food really can help you have less inflammation in your body, and by that can actually help you in the long term in your own rheumatologic disorder. So nutritious food, and it's not about removing stuff, it's more about how do I add the nutritious food that I need for my body. So, you know, vegetables, fruits, things like that. Okay. I'm a big fan of meditation. There is some data to say that it actually decreases the inflammation. So I'm a huge fan of meditation. And the visualization doesn't have as much data, if at all, or if at all good, because it's really hard to study visualization. That said, I find myself, one, using it for myself and using it for my patients, asking my patients to do this. So I ask my patients to imagine that they are healthy. What does health look like? And then I ask them to imagine that in the present and not use negative words. So, right, like, so if you have pain, you're like, I don't want to have pain anymore. I'm going to have no more pain. When I'm going to walk, there will be no more difficulties walking. No, you're like, I am flowing through my life. I am walking normally. I am running right now. And you imagine that that's what you're doing. And the reason is that, like kids, our subconscious doesn't understand negative words. And so if I say, this is such a cool experience right now, if I tell you to not imagine the rabbit that's crossing the room, you are actually right now imagining the rabbit that's crossing the room. So you have to say, no, right now you're imagining a flawless floor that's beautiful and, you know, and so that's what I'm trying to get my patients to imagine. And it's not easy when you have pain, and it's not easy when you don't, you know, but the truth is that if you put yourself in that space, I think that there's more chance of getting that space. So the science about it is not great, But it's so powerful that I think it's worth for the patients to try that. And some patients use affirmations. So I also like affirmations, but I would say that I don't use it as often, although it's great. So you can say, I'm healthy and alive. I am vibrantly healthy and alive. I am vibrantly healthy and alive. And after a while, I think you start believing it. But so, yeah, those are all little things, exercising. And I work with massage therapists. I work with physical therapists as well and health coaches. So I think, you know, it takes a village.
Absolutely. And so speaking of village, let's talk about your practice. You know, we're running short on time. I could talk to you all day about the work that you do. And I'm looking forward to having you on future episodes as well. But let's talk a little bit more about your practice, because I know that you have to get going and seeing some patients. Yeah. But listeners are out there being like, I want to talk with Dr. Amik and learn more about you. Tell us some more about your platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I see patients in Colorado, both in person in Denver, south and north of Denver, and I'm about to open in Boulder. So I'm very excited about that. And then I also see patients through telehealth. I also think that Colorado is a great place to visit. So come and it's nice to see my patients. It's important to see at least, you know, regularly physically, right? So that's that. And then I do have platforms because I'm big on educating. So I have Unabridged MD, which is the name of my practice that has all social media, has a podcast as well, where we talk all things health. So Unabridged MD. And so on all the regular like social media platform. And then I also have a YouTube channel called Rheumatology 101. So if you put Rheumatology 101, Dr. Amig, A-M-I-G-U-E-S, I actually do lives and they leave. I do lives every Tuesday. And the goal is to teach about rheumatology topics to patients, basically, and to their family and loved one and fellows and everyone that's interested, with the goal of just, you know, spreading good education in rheumatology, because physicians don't really have much time. And so I feel like that's how I give back to my community. So, yeah.
Amazing. Dr. Amik, thank you so much for your time today. I know you have to run and treat a busy day of patients, and it's been such a pleasure. I learned a lot, and I'm excited, and I would love to have you on future episodes.
With pleasure. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dr. Ashley, for having me. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.